Good morning. This is on. I always thought that when the cat's away, the mice will play, but apparently this Sunday it's a little different from that. But nonetheless, we are here to worship our Lord. And I was reminded this morning, just looking out and seeing, you know, how our numbers will definitely be different today than most Sundays, that God often speaks in the stillness and in the quiet. So we're here this morning, and I still fully expecting to hear from God. And this week, like I said earlier, I was able to to stop and spend some time with some dear friends of mine who she is, it's probably the last time I will see her on this side of heaven. And so it made me think a lot of growing up and the influence she had on my life. And I will never, ever forget the look that I quite often got from her. You know, she was one of them. I grew up with her daughter. They were in our church. She was probably there the first Sunday I ever went to church when I was a little baby. So she saw me from when I was a little child, in clear through now. They've been a part of my life forever. And I wasn't always the easiest child growing up to raise. I quite often was a little mischievous, maybe pushed the envelope at times, but she was always, always, always willing to give me that look. And that look always, always, always set me straight. It was one of them that you would never forget. She wasn't afraid to be a little bold when she needed to be. And one thing I will say about her is she was never afraid to live out her faith. She didn't care what other people thought. She was never afraid to let others know that she's a Christian and that she believes in Jesus and that that's where her heart is. And today we're going to read a little bit about Nicodemus, who, I guess I got to put some cautions in there. That the direction we're taking with Nicodemus this morning, we can see that he was somewhat afraid to let others know that he was talking to Jesus. Now, I don't want to discredit that Nicodemus was probably a very godly man in the end. In fact, he was one of the two that helped bury Jesus. So I don't want this to sound like Nicodemus was a horrible person and he got it wrong and all that. But this part of the passage, and there are different reasonings for him doing this, different thoughts, but this part of the passage, we'll see that Nicodemus went and talked to Jesus at night. And one of the ways to take that is that at night conceals things that maybe he didn't want others to see. Maybe he was afraid of what others might think if they knew he was going to meet with Jesus and talk to him and get to know him a little bit. And I really think that as Christians, if we're being honest with ourselves, that we all struggle with this. Every one of us to one degree or another struggles with, man, do I really want to be bold and blunt and upfront for Christ? And what will other people think of me if I act that way? I might lose some friends along the way. And we do all struggle with this. We're afraid to a point of what others think of us. And there's multiple reasons for this. And so as I thought about it, I guess I thought of the three main reasons that I can think of. And of course, one is what I just said. What will others think of me? If I'm bold and upfront and people know that I'm a Christian and I don't hide it whatsoever, what will people think of me? What will my colleagues think of me that I know don't believe in Christ or haven't given their life over to Him? What will they think of me? Another reason is if they know I'm a Christian, will they like me? Let's be honest, we care if other people like us, right? If somebody don't like you, it often causes a little bit of tension in your life. We do care if people like us or not. And the third reason is one that we don't face a lot in this country yet, but I do believe it's coming, is will I be persecuted for my faith? Will I be persecuted? And there's different levels of persecution. A lot of us, you know, persecution could be even losing friends over being a Christian. The other two reasons I just talked about. We will face deeper persecution, I believe, in this country. But the one good thing about that is, look at the countries. A lot of times, countries or places where people are being persecuted the heaviest or the hardest for being Christians is also the same areas where the gospel is being spread the fastest, because God is in it. And when his hand is in something, no matter what, it will not fail. And if we're honest, we do care about all these three things, and there's many more. But we really care about what others think of us. And as we get older, I think it gets less and less we care. I know my grandma, she gets quite bold and blunt with the way she says things nowadays. But nonetheless, we still do care what people think of us. But that shouldn't be a reason to not share Jesus. And in fact, his greatest order for us, Christ's order, and I'll call it an order, because he has commanded us to do it, is to share the gospel, share the good news, share with others what we already know. It's not supposed to be a secret. We're supposed to share it. Spreading the gospel is our command from Jesus. And not only is it a command, it's something that we must be doing as Christians. And if we're not doing it, then the question comes in, do I really love Jesus enough? Is my heart really in the right place if I'm not willing to share? I have a story I come across this week. Let me read to you here. I'll just read it. Candy Robertson was at a dinner party not long ago where one of the guests, an agnostic, was sitting across from her. Candy and this gentleman were enjoying pleasant conversation, but then someone brought up politics. I can imagine that happening in today's society with what's going on in our political world. But she thought, uh-oh. And it wasn't long before the agnostic started talking about the separation of church and state. And he did so quite loudly. Candy wanted very much to say something, but she didn't. She rationalized that it wasn't her dinner party, and she didn't want to create an embarrassing scene for the hostess. I think her reason there would be justified. Except, she goes on to say, I said nothing. Candy said nothing, and later on she confided that the real reason was plain old fear. She said, I'm ashamed to say, but I'm a coward when it comes to talking about my Christian faith. I think in one way or another, we can all probably relate to this. We can all probably look back in our lives and think of examples that instead of the name Candy Robertson there, it could have been Randy Carr or any one of us. We've all faced that struggle from time to time if we're being honest with ourselves. I'm going to read John 3, verses 1 through 9. And I think Nicodemus was being challenged with this as well. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if it were not from him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying this. You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, next week, we'll get into a lot more of Jesus' reply and Jesus' words there about, it even goes on farther down in John chapter 3 where Jesus is very clear that the only way to God is through him. That's where, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only son. That's where all that comes in. And I promise you, we can't overlook that, and we'll get into it a little bit more next week. But this week, today, for the remainder of our time, I want to focus on Nicodemus and what he said and what he did. Did you catch the part where it says he was afraid of what others might think? It's right there. He came to Jesus at night. See, he was a Pharisee. He was part of the ruling council. And if we back up a little bit earlier in John's text, it was right after Jesus clears the temple. And it says right in there that the Pharisees wanted to kill him. They were ready to kill Jesus this early. So Nicodemus, he didn't want them to know he was there. Probably a little bit for fear of his life. There are some teachings that say that he was there because he wanted Jesus alone to have an intimate conversation. Could be true. Don't know. But one of the things we can glean from this is that when he comes at night, it's because he doesn't want others to know. And we can all relate to that if we're being honest. But what really gets me, and I'm going to read verse 2 again. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God." He knows Jesus is from God, yet he's not willing to stand up and let others know that he's there, is one take we can get from this. We know Jesus is from God, yet we are often afraid to tell others we know that. We're often afraid, even though we know Jesus is from God. He was probably afraid of his reputation. He was afraid of what the other Pharisees would say. He was afraid. Probably afraid. We don't know for sure. I remember growing up when I was young, went to church in school. Everybody knew when we went to school, things were probably a little different, where most of the kids went to church on Sunday. And those that didn't were just sort of one generation removed. So their parents had gone but had quit going to church. So it wasn't a big thing to go to church. It wasn't something you hid. But none of us, if I remember back, none of us really talked about it. It wasn't something that was important. It wasn't something that I would go to church and then go to school and think, man, I know this kid don't go. Maybe I should talk to him about Jesus. We never thought of that. And maybe, perhaps we should have. Maybe we should be thinking of that a little bit more today. I truly believe we should. We see, you know, you watch the news, you can't help but see and think how bad things have been getting. And many people are hoping that the next president will solve things, when maybe we should be looking a little bit deeper at Jesus and praying a little bit more and realizing that no president is going to solve what's going on in our country or this world. But God can solve it. But Nicodemus, I just picture him, and this is my own thinking, that I picture him, that he was struggling with I know Jesus is from God, and I need to follow him, but I also know I'm part of the Pharisees, and they see things a little differently, and being pulled in two directions. And if we're honest, we can face that same struggle at times. We're so eager, we can be so eager to fit in and blend in, that we can often do it and put Christ in the back burner. One thing I'll say about the Amish community, I don't agree with everything they do, but they're not afraid to not blend in with society. Now, on the other hand, they blend in very well with each other, but maybe we could take a little bit of lesson there and not be so worried about fitting in and so worried about what other people will think if we look a little different. I found when I taught school, I taught sophomores, and most of them were from troubled homes. And a lot of them, you know, you see these kids, a lot of them were into the goth look and all black or wacky colored hair. And just someone that if would walk in here, you would recognize very quickly, would stand out like a sore thumb. However, most times they were the people, the ones with the kindest hearts. And as you get to know them, gentle, caring people. And that so often, they get written off by society because they aren't fitting in. They aren't part of it. And maybe we should take a little page from their book as well. We don't need to fit in, and we don't need to worry about doing or acting just like others. And I can be a little bold for Christ and not care what other people think. I've had a lot of jobs over my different careers in my 40 years of life. I worked on the street department, taught school for a few years, paramedic, farmer, all that stuff. And I remember it was pretty easy for me to fit in teaching school because there the kids would swear every now and again, but the adults, you know, pretty morally okay. But when I became a paramedic and started working full-time there, that is a field that opened my eyes a lot when I walked in, when I started that job. Most of them were very professional on the call, but very unprofessional afterwards. Things back at the station weren't always up and up. A lot of them were not faithful to their spouses. When you leave and you go away from home and you come back 24 hours later, a lot of people felt it was a license to do whatever they wanted. A lot of swearing, smoking, all that stuff. And one thing God told me when I got there was, you need to be different. You're here for a reason and you need to be different. And I was different. I didn't fit in, if you will. But something started to happen there that I was really, made me know that God had me there for a reason. And I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back, but what I'm saying is I was different. I didn't fit in there. Yet I was able to make friends with those there. And I wasn't being judgmental and telling all of them how they're going to hell and they need to change their ways. But I was able to walk alongside them. And every so often, one of those of my colleagues would come along and they would be going through something of horrible struggle in life because of the sins that they were walking in. And I've heard more than once, you're different. But you're cool. You're different. What is it about you? Why are you different? All this stuff is fun and you don't do it. He says, I don't need to. It was the perfect opportunity to share about Christ. And I think that's one of the things that we need to make sure we're focusing on is building our relationships with those outside of the church. It's so easy to build friendships within the church because we all have similar thoughts and similar interests and mindsets. But when we do that, we can often neglect those who need Christ the most. And when these people start asking questions, it's the perfect opportunity to share what we've found. What we've found in Christ. You know, Paul was one, the Apostle Paul was one that we probably all know the story. Hated Christians, persecuted them. He was there and approved of Stephen being stoned to death. Hated Christians. What would have happened if Jesus wouldn't have intervened? Do you think about that? Paul was one of the, I guess you could say, one of the vilest of sinners. In Paul's early days, when he was persecuting Christians, he would have been happy to have all of us in here arrested. Wouldn't have thought twice about it. But Jesus reached out to him, and that's what we are to be doing to the lost. I want to read some of his words. Probably sums it up kind of pretty well, I believe. In 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 12, Paul says, "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet, I love this part, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Paul is not ashamed. Paul is not hiding to anyone that he is a Christian. And if we look at not Nicodemus's words, but his actions, we might see, and I'm not saying that Nicodemus is ashamed or that Nicodemus, that he doesn't believe in Jesus. But with his actions, one can say there are two distinct sides here. Nicodemus knew that Jesus was from God, but yet probably didn't want to tell everybody about it yet. There's other places in Scripture too where he's not very bold, where he kind of hides in the back, believes in Jesus, knows Jesus is from God, but doesn't want to tell everybody about it. And then there's Paul, who knows Jesus is from God and is willing to shout it out to everyone. So they both believe in Christ, but they take two very different approaches to it. So I guess I'll ask this question. What camp do you find yourself in? Do you find yourself more like Paul, who is not afraid to tell the world, even if it means clear up to being persecuted, even unto death, like Paul saw? Or do we want to keep quiet and just kind of hide in the corner and yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm just going to live my life and not worry about others? It's not easy being bold. It's not easy being like Paul. I remember a few years ago at our old church, we did the My Hope campaign with Billy Graham. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that at all. But it was Billy Graham, they came out with a video of a very good, powerful testimony. And you were asked to select some people you knew didn't go to church and pray for them and invite them over to watch this video. So me and Deanne decided with another couple from our church, we were going to do this. We were all excited and had everything set. And then the time came and nobody showed up. It was a real letdown for us, but it was also made me realize that this stuff isn't easy. And it really takes some major relationship building efforts to do it. And a lot of prayer. It's not an easy thing to do, yet we are called by God to do it. Thursday, I was at our CAMA meeting, the ministerium in Corey, and we usually meet for an hour and do our business and then go home, but for some reason this Thursday, we got to talking afterwards, and we were there well over 2 hours. But one of the pastors brought up how they've recently read a study that by 2068, as the way churches are declining, there will no longer be Lutherans or Methodist churches. By 2068, that's not very far off. They will be obsolete. And if we're being honest, almost every denomination is facing something similar. They're in decline. And boy, looking out here this morning, it makes me kind of sad because the pews are empty, but I know that's not the reason this morning. But we're facing that across churches. And the one thing that became clear that we got to talking about was this very issue, that it's not easy for us. We haven't made it common to talk to others about Jesus. And one of the pastors brought up, he says, if we're being honest, we don't even, as pastors, do a very good job of it. Maybe that's why our churches are empty. Because we want to keep this notion or this our love for Christ to ourselves, when we really should be sharing it. We really should be sharing it with others. Because the Bible is clear. If you do not have your faith in Jesus Christ, that is the only way to God. If you do not have your faith in Jesus Christ, you will be going to hell. And hell is something we don't like to talk about. But if the Bible is fact, which I believe it is, then some of us will end up in heaven and some of us will end up in hell. And those of us going to heaven, our heart should be broken for those going to hell. Our heart should be crying out, doing everything we can. And that should be incentive enough for us to put our fears aside and reach out to those we know or those that are possibly walking down the path to hell. And if we understand this, and if we grasp that why is it important to share the gospel, it will be a lot easier. When we know why, we'll probably do our job a little better. I have a quick little video to show. I hope you can see it well, but it really helps put this in perspective.
A lot of times when people hear the phrase, how do I know, the next thing they say is what? How do I know what? But the key really isn't to know what. The key is to know why. Because when you know your why, you have options on what your what can be. For instance, my why is to inspire people to walk in purpose. My what is stand-up comedy. My what is writing books. My what can be going out with some friends to eat. In fact, another what that has moved me towards my why is a web series that we have out now called Break Time. So every Wednesday at 3:00, you should subscribe to the channel. We do a series called Break Time on YouTube. So 3:00, we drop a new episode. One episode in particular, I'm about to show you a clip to. We were in Winston-Salem. So Break Time, this is how it works. I travel the country, I do stand-up comedy, probably an hour and a half at an event. And in the middle of my show, I'll just sit down and start talking to the audience. And funny just happens. Or I'll meet somebody who's really interesting. So I met this one guy, and he said that he teaches music at a school. I was like, all right, you teach music, you know, can you sing? And then I'm just going to show you the clip. Check it. So you're a musical director. Cool.
Yes, sir.
All right, so... Let me get a couple bars of like Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Wow. That bro could sing. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Now, what you give me the version is if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid. I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick, if you know which version I'm talking about. Just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now, right now,
so here's the thing. The first time I asked him to sing, he knew what he was doing. The second time I asked him to sing, he knew why he was doing it. When you know your why, your what has more impact, because you're walking in or towards your purpose.
I think that's very powerful, because our why is because we are called to love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul, but we're also called to love our neighbors as ourselves. And loving our neighbors, loving our family and our friends and those we work with, we ought to love them enough to want to keep them out of the gates of hell, to walk through life with them. Walk, even if it requires walking right up to the gate of hell and grabbing their hand and walking them out of there. That should be incentive enough. That's our why. Let's pray. Lord God, Father, like the light shines in these windows this morning, may the light of Jesus shine from our every pore. From our every fiber of our being, Lord, may the light of Jesus shine through us. God, I pray that throughout our week that people we come across can recognize there's something special about us because of the way we live our life for you. And Lord, I pray for a holy boldness that as people ask questions and recognize that difference, that you will give us a holy boldness to share what we know about you. Lord, we recognize it's not always easy. But may we do everything in our power to keep our friends and our loved ones from the gates of hell. In Jesus' name, amen.